And this morning, I'm going to look at a sermon that I know our brother Bill preached years ago, and he's preached it since, again, called the parable of the sower and the seed, or it can be called different things. This particular parable here, you have a sower, which is a messenger, a minister of the gospel, the true gospel. You have the seed, which is the message, the gospel itself that's been sown in different type soil. And then you got soil. You got four types of soil we're going to look at. And you got the hearers. You got four type of those that hear this message here. And we're going to go through these verses here that that Jason just read, and hopefully get a good understanding of what we're talking about here. First of all, I want to tell you that when we talk about the seed that's sown, we're talking about the true gospel. We're not talking about a false gospel, something that you might hear and so much of professed Christianity today, in name only. But we're talking about the true gospel message, that gospel that identifies the true God and the true Christ of Scripture. That gospel that tells us who they are and what they did on our behalf to save sinners. And this gospel that identifies God as a just God, this gospel that tells us about Christ who was set up in eternity to represent a people. And in time to come here to this earth, representing them on their behalf as their surety, substitute, and doing all things necessary to save them. We needed salvation because we fell in Adam. We're sinners. And so Christ came to this earth and he did all those things necessary to save us. And even to the death on the cross where he shed his blood. And God justifies his people based entirely on Christ and that righteousness that he worked out. And God imputes it to our account. He does not charge us, his elect, with our sins. What a blessed, blessed gospel. That is good news to know that God's not going to charge us with our sin. And the reason why, he's already charged it to his son. And his son came in time and paid the debt that we owe. So I wanted to tell you that about when we talk about the seed that's sown out there, we're talking about a true gospel, not a false gospel that says, well, he came and Christ came and did everything that he could. Now it's left up to you. It's your faith. It's what you do to make the difference between heaven and hell. And you know it does because if Christ came here and he died for all individuals without exception, something has to make the difference other than what Christ accomplished. Something else. And it has to do with what you do. And that's not the Christ of Scripture. So let me go forward here. I wanted to just put that out there to begin with. Now today, as we look at Matthew 13 and look at this parable of the sower and the seed, you could also title the message the parable of the soil. Because the emphasis of this parable is that there are four types of soil here, which represent four types of hearers when the gospel is preached. Now, Matthew 13:1 says this, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore." It was so crowded on the shore that Christ had to get on a ship to teach, to talk to the crowd. And he spoke in verse 3, it says, "And he spake many things unto them in parable, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, a parable, as you know, is an earthly story. It's a story that uses earthly things, earthly persons, symbols, things, objects, to teach a higher spiritual, eternal lesson. We also need to see that the main issues of a parable is represented by an earthly object. We also need to understand that you can't make everything in a parable mean and stand for something. But you have to take just a general message of that parable and hear the parable of the soils, and later on, beginning at verse 18, the Lord tells us exactly what each thing means. He's talking about the spreading of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel throughout the earth. Now here in Matthew 13, you have a series of parables, and what the Lord is doing in these parables is teaching. He's teaching his disciples the issues, the truths, and the nature of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven are sometimes referred to as the kingdom of God in these parables. Is not heaven itself or the future glory of perfection that's in heaven. But Christ is talking about the state of the church and his rule and reign over all things in the establishment and growth of his church between the time of his first coming and his ascension unto glory and his second coming. That's the last days of the time of the new covenant. Now, the New Testament and the time over which Christ rules and reigns and disposes of all these things to save his people from their sins and to establish his church throughout the world. Now, this is the time that we're talking about. That's the kingdom of heaven. Now, in the local assemblies on earth, where the gospel, the true gospel is preached, that's what we're talking about. Local assemblies where the true gospel is preached. They're believers and they're unbelievers. And over in Matthew 25:31 through 33, it tells us something about these types, the two different types. When the Son of Man shall come, it says, in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goat on his left hand. Now this parable speaks of the judgment, the final judgment, and how in the end Christ is going to come, and in that day he's going to separate the ones he identifies as sheep, which are God's elect people, those for whom Christ died and redeemed from their sins. They are regenerated and called by the Spirit in the new birth through the preaching of the true gospel. Christ will separate those sheep from goats, Scripture says, which refers to unbelievers who will perish eternally. Now that's what the Scripture says. But before that time, before this time of separation that it's talking about right here, there's going to be a mixture even within the local assemblies where the true gospel is preached. There will be a mixture, and that's what this parable is talking about, speaking of this morning, the parable of the sower and the seed. Even in local gospel assemblies, there's going to be different kinds of people. They're going to be believers and they're going to be unbelievers. And they're going to be false professors and true professors. So that's what this parable speaking of here. Now remember this about the parable. They're not children's stories. They weren't given to simplify the gospel. They were given to illustrate the gospel and to teach truths of the kingdom of heaven. Now, so in this parable here that we're looking at, he begins in verse 3, and Christ says, behold, a sower went forth to sow, like a farmer, sowing seed on the ground. It says in verse 4, it tells us of the first type of soil here that seed sown into. It says, when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls, the birds, came and devoured them. firing them up and ate them. The seed didn't have any opportunity to take root. The seed wasn't sown in good ground or good prepared ground. It was sown by the wayside. Then Christ speaks of the second type of soil here in verse 5. It says, some of these seeds fell upon stony places, stony ground, stony soil, where they had not much earth. It was more rock than earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no depthness, no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. So that's the second type of soil. Then in verse 7, we have a third type of soil. Now, he says in verse 7, and some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them. Then in verse 8, we have the fourth type of soil. And that's where Christ says, but other fell into good ground, good earth, and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. This seed produced varying degrees of fruit, but they all grew. And he says in Matthew 13:9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, many of the parables conclude that way. If you've got ears to hear, then you hear. Now, let me say this before I go here in verse 18 to the meaning of this parable. We need to pay close attention to this verse 9 where it says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. All of us are familiar with the fact that in this physical realm that we're in, we have physical life. We have physical eyes and ears. Ears to hear. Physical ears. So we need to ask ourselves, who gave us those physical ears and physical ears to hear and physical eyes to see? Well, the answer is God did. You didn't get those eyes and ears that you're using in the physical realm on your own. God created it. God gave them to you. It's the same in spiritual life. It's the same in spiritual hearing and spiritual sight. As Christ gave sight to the blind and he gave hearing to the deaf, he gives spiritual hearing and spiritual sight to his people. He said, my sheep hear my voice. That's what Christ said. And so what I want you to know before we get into this, if you hear the gospel of God's grace, so fortunate to hear God's grace in Christ and believe it, then you have God to thank for that hearing. You can't say, well, I heard it because I'm better than somebody else who refused to hear. It wasn't an act of your own will. God made you willing by giving you spiritual ears and spiritual eyes in this matter. Now, when does God give a sinner spiritual ears and spiritual eyes? Well, the answer is obvious, is when they're born again, when we're born again. That's what Christ told Nicodemus when he was talking to Nicodemus, a Pharisee of the Jewish religion. He said, you must be born again, born by the Spirit of God, a new birth. So what we're going to see in the parable of the soils here is that three of these types of hearers, that's what these souls represent. Sinners hearing the gospel in different ways. Three of these types were not given spiritual ears and spiritual eyes. There was only one type of hearer that had spiritual ears that produced fruit. Now, as we begin here in verse 18 of chapter 13, it says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Christ is about to go in and as he talks to his disciples and explain the meaning of these parables. Now, beginning in verse 18 here, this is where he's talking to his disciples. Christ says in verse 19 here, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart." This is someone said none of the gospel. And it's preached to him. And he hears it with a physical ear. But it says, "Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside," that we're talking about. Now, this is the first soul, that is the wayside hearer. This is the person who hears the gospel with physical ear and may have some thought about it. That's why it says sown in his heart, not planted in his heart. You see, not taking root, but that person really turns away from it, has no interest in it. They're just not concerned about it. He's not concerned about sin. He's not concerned about how God saves sinners as you talk to him, as he hears it. He's not concerned about death, hell, or heaven. That's the way wayside hearer. He's totally uninterested in the preaching of the word of the kingdom. And so many times when the gospel goes out, there will be people who will just turn a deaf ear to it. Just unconcerned about it. They don't want to listen. They don't want to consider it. They don't want to think about it. That's the wayside hearer. And that's sad. That's sad. You feel for these people in a way, these individuals that are like that, that they don't give heed to the preaching of the word of life. The word of the kingdom is the word of life. Those that are hearing me this morning, this gospel that I went into a little bit at the beginning, how God saves sinners. Paul said, "Is either the preaching of a message that is so important that it comes down to this. It's either life unto life or death unto death." Life unto life to those who God brings to faith in Christ. Death unto death to those who turn a deaf ear to it. Now he comes to the next hearer. He says here in Matthew 20 and 21, "But he that receives the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon," that is, he now or immediately he received it, "and with joy received it." The indication here is that this person hears and he immediately latches on to it with joy. But he really hasn't thought about the implications of what he's hearing. He hears it and it sounds good to him. But he hadn't thought about the implications of what he's hearing. What he's going to have to face down the road. In other words, he's like the person that Christ said who didn't count the cost. I remember when I had to count the cost. Back when I first heard this gospel. And I had to consider what I was going to have to confront with my former religion. And my family. My friends that I had witnessed to in my former religion. I had to tell all of them, I was wrong what I'd been telling you. That's not easy. But God gives us grace to do it when he regenerates us and brings us to this gospel. I said I was wrong and that God had revealed to me what the true gospel was. I had to repent of all those things that I was once proud of in my former religion. I had to count it lost. Then Christ goes on in verse 21, and he says, "Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while." He endureth for a while, and he says, "For when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word." Now that's key. Look at that in verse 21. He doesn't say just when trouble comes or persecution comes, but it's when trouble and persecution comes because of the word, the gospel. because of the gospel. This is a specific persecution and tribulation that we face. And he says, by and by, he's offended. And he leaves it. He turns, I don't want to have to face all this with my former religion, with my family, with my friend. It's just too much. I don't want to confront them. It's not worth it. And when confronted with this same issue, let's see what Apostle Paul did in Philippians 3:8. Apostle Paul says, yea. Now, this was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a Jew. Come from that Jewish religion. And he, all his life, he was out persecuting the church, killing Christians before God saved him. He says, yea. But when God saved him and he came to this gospel, he said, yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, speaking of his past religion, and do count them but dung, worthless, that I may win Christ. That is Christ alone for salvation. Looking to him alone for all my salvation. Not him, not Christ plus what I did, but Christ totally, what he done. Now there are many stony ground hearers. Have you heard the gospel and received it and not suffered persecution, tribulation with your former religion, your family, your friends? Do you know that the gospel by its very nature will always bring some form, some degree of persecution? Some degree of it. Persecution and trouble from the world. We're in a battle. Scripture says believers are in the world here. We walk this earth every day, but we're not of the world. And so Christ told his disciples in the book of John 15, he said, marvel not if the world hates you. Now, Christ is telling us this. The world's going to hate you. He says, for it hated me before it hated you. Our Lord was despised and rejected of men. He was lied upon. He was spat upon. He was disrespected. He was actually hated because of his message of grace that exposed the evil deeds of the best and most religious and zealous men of his day. You see, when sinners hear that all of his efforts to make himself righteous before God are evil deeds because they deny the glory of God, they deny Christ, the true Christ, they are fruit of unbelief. Unless God turns that sinner's heart to Christ and away from his own works that he thinks he can do to save himself, that sinner's going to hate the light. That's what Scripture says. John 3:19. The light has come into the world, but men love darkness and hate the light. This light is that gospel message that identifies the true God and the true Christ. That's the light that they hate. That's what God's Word said. So the gospel is called the preaching of the offense of the cross. It's offensive to man by nature. It's offensive to his dignity, to his self-righteousness. And so the gospel is hated. So Christ told them in John 16:1-2, these things have I spoken unto you, he's speaking to his disciples, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of their synagogues, the churches. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. The Apostle Paul back then, when he was hunting down these Christians, he was thinking he was doing the God that he knew a service by getting rid of them. And we know, I know I can attest to it in my own past religion, they don't want you there. And you say, well, I want to tell them the gospel. Well, you can go so far with that. We've had some here that have been booted out. You stay here, but that message has got to go. We won't have that talk here. And all we're telling them is salvation based on Christ and his righteousness alone. based entirely on Him. That's all we're telling them. Flee to Christ. Salvation by His blood alone. I want to do something. I got to do something. Give me something to do. He said, blessed are you when men persecute you, revile you, and say all manner of evil against you. Christ is telling us in His Word what's going to happen. It's going to happen, and when that message of grace offends the ears of self-righteous, they'll turn on you, and that's when the stony ground hearer says, whoa, I got to go. He leaves this gospel. He can't handle it. He got to go. That seed has not been planted in that good prepared ground by the Holy Spirit. And it won't keep him there. That persecution, he goes. But when we see God's glory in this thing of salvation, we see His glory and the exaltation of Christ, that's what it comes down to. We think more about that, about God's glory, than we do about our own. And so where am I going to go? Salvation by Christ alone. I've been convinced I can't do anything that's going to measure up to what Christ accomplished. And God demands perfection. And Christ is going to be that standard of judgment in the end. I got to flee to Christ. He's my only hope. Now, in verse 22, here's a third kind of hearer. Matthew 13:22. He also that received seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Here's another kind of hearer. This would be a person who hears the gospel and claims to believe it, but he has no time for it. He's got other things to do. The cares of this world is taking up his mind, consumed his heart and his time. The deceitfulness of riches, he wants to make money. Now, there's nothing wrong with making money. We all got to make a living. Nothing wrong with making money. But if that consumes your heart and your time to the point that you just don't have any time to worship the true God. No time for the Word of God, no time for the people of God. This is the category of soul that you're in. It's a person that's deceived by his own desires. So this is the thorny ground hearer. Now, lastly, in verse 23, it says, but he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, some 30. This hearer understands the gospel savingly with the eye and the ear of faith, and also beareth fruit and bringeth forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30. Now, here's a person whose heart has been prepared by the power of the Holy Spirit, who gives life, who changes that heart, gives you a new heart, who gives a new heart to receive this gospel that's been sown, been preached to you. This is the broken and contrite heart. This is the heart that's broken over sin and sees the necessity of salvation by grace. God's grace and mercy. You see, if you have a good heart, it's one that has been prepared by God the Holy Spirit. You didn't have it naturally. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked, it says. Who can know it? So if I believe the gospel of Christ, the true gospel now we're talking about, believe Christ from the heart, that is, your mind, your affections, and your will. It's God who gave you that heart. It's God who transformed you. It's God who gives you life. spiritual life, to see my sinfulness and to see the glory and the grace of God in Christ. And from that creation that God has made in that sinner who receives Christ comes fruit. Now, some will bring forth more fruit than others, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30. But there will be fruit. It's taking root. It's going to grow. It will be the fruit of repentance, faith. It will be the fruit of works, obedience motivated by grace and love, and gratitude for what Christ has done for you. My friend, this is a person who has been born again. And you notice here in this parable of the soils, there are three types of hearers who end up lost. There's only one kind of hearer that ends up saved. What am I to do? What am I to do? Well, I'm to pray to God, O Lord, give me that heart of faith. Give me the heart of repentance. Break my heart. Show me the glory of Christ and what He's accomplished. Cause the Spirit of God to shed abroad in my heart the love of God in Christ. And as 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin, the satisfaction. This is the word of the kingdom, and the Holy Spirit implants it in the heart of His people where it takes root. And it grows when it's watered by the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the word of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says, and you shall be saved. Don't let this word here, this gospel, fall on deaf ears. Don't let this word be received for a little while and then taken up for the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches. Don't let this word be a point of contention to the point that when you are persecuted or face trouble over it, you leave it and never come back. Lay hold of Christ and never let go. That's the parable of the sower and the seed.